To him who was, who is, and who is to come again, be all glory, praise, and honor. Amen. Dear fellow servants of Christ the King, it was the year 2000, and I was given the assignment for my social studies class to watch the presidential election. I was also given the task to color in every state on my map, either red or blue, depending on how they voted. Simple enough assignment, unless you remember how the 2000 presidential election went. The state of Florida changed so many times. There were countless recounts that by the end of my assignment, the state of Florida was neither red or blue, but an ugly color of brown. But putting my assignment aside, and how humorous that might have been, this controversy in Florida really caused a huge stir in our nation. People were legitimately asking, well, who's really in charge? Should it be George Bush or Al Gore? And that's an interesting thing about our nation and the election process. We're all given the right to vote for our next leaders. But when the election is over, you hear these same type of questions being asked. Questions such as, should this person be in charge? Is this the best candidate for our nation? Is this person really qualified to be our leader? In the end, when you really think about it, our government, and any government in general, is very fickle. Things don't stay the same. Leaders aren't perfect. And the power and stability of any nation can quickly change. And because of that, and because of our government, we can become more and more worried in our lives. But what a joy it is to celebrate Christ the King Sunday. Because here we are reminded of this simple and comforting truth that Christ the King is in control. He was back when, he is today, and always will be. And that's what we see here in Daniel's vision. Daniel says, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. At this time, Daniel and the Israelites have been in exile in Babylon for several decades. The reason that they are in exile is because of their sins and their refusal to repent of their sins and turn back to the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent the Babylonians to completely destroy Jerusalem and its temple, but not to completely destroy his people. They were simply taken into exile away from their homes. Also at this time, it's a transitional period in Babylon because a new king has ascended to the throne, and also the kingdom of Babylon is beginning to crumble, and the next powerful nation of Persia is beginning to arise. And so for the Israelites, they must have been wondering if things were going to improve for them, or if things were going to remain the same. And that's why God gives Daniel this vision. Earlier in his vision, Daniel sees four great beasts coming out of the earth. And these beasts were huge and powerful and terrifying. He sees a lion with eagle's wings. He sees a ferocious bear devouring its prey. He sees a leopard with four heads and four wings. And the last beast he describes as having iron feet with 10 heads and 10 horns. These four powerful beasts represented the next four powerful nations on earth. The nations of Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. All four of these nations would rule over the Israelite people. And so for the Israelites, as they hear this vision from Daniel, to them their future must have seemed bleak. It seemed like everything was out of control. It seemed like there was no security, peace, or joy, or stability in their lives. But then Daniel sees something different. He sees someone who looks like a son of man. He sees someone looking like himself coming down with the clouds. The fact that this son of man comes down with the clouds shows that he is different from the four nations, the four beasts that Daniel had seen. The four beasts came out of the earth. But this son of man does not originate from the earth. He comes down from heaven. Who exactly is this son of man who's coming down with the clouds? It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God who became man. The title that Jesus often referred to himself was the Son of Man, showing that he was the fulfillment of Daniel's vision. And then Daniel sees that this Son of Man is given all authority, glory, and power over all the nations. What a comforting thing this would have been for Daniel and the Israelites, because all of the other nations, no matter how powerful they were, they didn't last forever. Even any peace, joy, or stability they could offer did not endure forever. But Christ the King was in control back then. He ruled over his people. He protected them. He brought them back to the land of Israel. But why would he do that for these people who sinned against him? It's because of his grace and because he promised that a Savior would be born from the Israelites. And therefore, he ruled over them to make sure that everything was right for Jesus Christ to be born. Christ the King was in control back when, and he is in control today. But this simple and comforting truth can be something that we simply and quickly forget, can't we? For instance, it's been just a few weeks since November 6th when our nation had its own elections for various positions. As you have thought about the results of those elections, has it gone the way that you wanted it to or not? Have you all of a sudden become more worried about the future of our nation, about your future, because of the results of the election? Or are you becoming and seeking more comfort in the peace, joy, and stability of our government because of the results of that election? In the end, I'm not saying that it's wrong to care about our nation and the politics, but in the end, if we are either becoming more and more worried about our government or finding more and more comfort in our government, can't we see that we are ultimately breaking the first commandment? The ultimate source of peace, joy, and stability in our lives is not to come from our government that is only temporary. The source of our peace, joy, and stability is to come from Christ the King, who is in control. But we all fail to appreciate the control and joy and peace that Christ gives to us. Rather, other things may seem more desirable to us. And why is that? Why do we do that? Maybe it's because we don't want to live by faith and not by sight, because we can see the things in this world and put more trust in what we see. Maybe it's because the things of this kingdom that we live in may seem more desirable than the spiritual and eternal things of God's kingdom. Maybe it's because we can lose confidence in Christ the King because he's not quite the king that we want him to be. We would prefer if he did these things and those things and everything in between. Or maybe we lose confidence in Christ the King because it can seem like he's not in control. And so we find peace, joy, and stability in our government that seems to be in control. But Christ the King is in control. And the fact that he is in control should terrify us. Because he should rule over us, overwhelming us with his wrath and power, because we don't always trust in him. But Christ the King, who is in control, rules over us with his grace and forgiveness. If you need any proof that Christ the King is in control and he rules over us with his grace, then look no further to what we heard in the gospel this morning. In the gospel this morning, we see Pontius Pilate dressed in his royal robes, surrounded by his soldiers, as he interviews Jesus, who's all alone. And it seems like he's not in control. It seems like he doesn't look like a king. But Christ the King is in control. He easily could have called down thousands of angels to rescue him from Pontius Pilate and those who plotted to take his life. But he doesn't. Rather, using his control, he allows himself to suffer and die. Because Jesus became the Son of Man. He came to be what you and I cannot be, which is a righteous and perfect person. And on the cross, he took the absolute worst about ourselves upon himself, so that in return, he could put the absolute best about himself upon us. And then Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at God's right hand, which means he rules over us with his grace. He rules over us with his forgiveness. He rules over us to take care of us. Christ the King is in control. Therefore, don't look to our government, which is only temporary, as the security of peace, joy, and stability in life. But look to Christ the King, who is the ultimate security of peace, joy, and stability in our lives. And we can always know that we have this security in Christ the King, because Christ the King will always be in control. Listen again to what Daniel saw. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men in every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Earlier we established who the Son of Man is in this account. But who exactly is this Ancient of Days? The Ancient of Days is God the Father himself. But why is he called the Ancient of Days? What exactly does that mean? This title of Ancient of Days refers to how God the Father is eternal. Since he is eternal, God is before and above every nation that exists. Since God is eternal, God will always exist while all the other nations of this world will pass away. since he is eternal, God in his grace will never change. And what he has done for us in our salvation will endure forever. And God the Father, the Ancient of Days, has given all glory, authority, and power to Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He uses this authority, glory, and power so that all peoples of every nation, of every language, will worship him. Therefore, since he is eternal, his kingdom will never end. Not even Satan and all of his forces can destroy Christ's kingdom. But Satan tries. And at times, it can seem like he is successful. It could seem like Satan is successful when there are governments that are completely opposed to the Christian faith, and therefore they outlaw it. It can seem like Satan is in control when Christians throughout the world are being persecuted and killed because of their faith. It can seem like Satan is in control when in our nation, people are so easily offended and hate what we believe. But Christ the King is in control. He always has been, and he always will be. Remember that governments with their policies do not last forever. And so Christ, who is in control, can one day have that government with its policy that outlaws Christianity to pass away. Christ the King is in control even when persecutions happen. Way back when, in the early years of the Christian church, when Christians were being killed for their faith, Christ the King used this as an opportunity to have his message of salvation spread to other people. The message of Christianity did not stop. And even today, when Christians are being persecuted and killed, it is not stopping God's kingdom. And even in our own country, when people are offended and hate what we believe, Christ the King, who is in control, is still bringing people to faith. So even though Satan and his forces can seem like they are successful, his kingdom will never end. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, remember this simple but great comforting truth that Christ the King is in control. He was in control back when, as he watched over the Israelites so that the promised Savior could come. He is in control today as he rules over us with his grace. And he will always be in control, for he is eternal and his kingdom will never end. Therefore, don't look to our government that is only temporary to be the ultimate source of peace, joy, and stability. But look to Christ the King, who is in control, to give you that peace, joy, and stability in your life. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand, God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. During the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.